You ready to rock and roll?
Larry.
I am.
Good morning this morning.
Thank you.
I had to let him in and copy him for
him. Yeah, I know, but I got it on already.
Yeah, you do.
But I burned like a sunscreen. I got more wood.
Come on.
I have sunscreen.
Not yet.
Oh, there's no business here.
Just because they're taking the entire board out on the water at once.
Hey,
you don't need to show up.
So shall I go get all the water here in?
Yeah.
No beer.
We'll be down on Sunford Road at Packard.
You can see that right there.
I would end up sunburned and dehydrated with beer. No.
You might want to let Wilson know. Get the water rationing group going.
Well, we have specific water recovery bags, so I'll go up and get them.
Get them all ready?
Yeah, I need three or four.
There will be no need for rest. Well, it's...
That's what they always say.
And conservation.
We'll be down the river, so I'll call Musk to take out.
But it's not very deep, so it'll be easy. Oh, no, we won't get out of county. Because there's several big bends before we get to county line.
Butt up against the river.
We'll be in the county, Mike.
That happens when you're...
Oh, yeah. And as soon as we got done, there's still that, like, maybe a quarter mile back to the...
Yes.
Hard, yeah. That let loose with all of God's fury. I mean, it rained so hard we couldn't see 10 feet in front of us.
That was so crazy.
We went to the car wash with the tractor guys and waited it out. We were drenched.
It only rained 15 minutes.
But it rained so hard.
It didn't rain in Cedar Rapids.
It didn't rain in Iowa City.
It rained in Marion a little bit. I was there for that caucus review.
Long tree parade. Right as we were finishing the parade, the skies just opened and just drenched.
God, it rains hard.
And that's the longest parade.
And we were on the motorcycle. We had checked the weather.
Well, there's a couple parades that are a little bit longer than they should be because you have to get the retirement.
What about those clouds? There's nothing on the radar. I'm like, what about those clouds?
So there's always that little spur at the end.
We had to be in
the long tree in Solon.
For long tree being so small,
we were going to go to another event and go on my wedding shirt.
Stinking street.
So we flipped the motorcycle.
I got into a parade by accident.
Tractors. They had
for the blue days.
Cooler of beer.
And the only parade that was long, like 15 minutes, no be longer than that, is Visha. So now Visha doesn't exist. And so the blue days is the longest parade.
Really?
Wow. And it's almost 5 miles.
Wow. Oh my God. Yeah.
I think the Coralville parade is only 3.5 miles.
And in the middle of the street, loves mowing. And it's like, you know, like that.
She used to love mowing.
So, you know, we got one hip higher. Yeah. Oh, man. It was, yeah. I wanted to walk.
She's just grown like crazy. Whatever that stuff is that we all call water grass.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what is that technical name of water
grass? Water grass.
Pine, somebody.
I don't know. In your yard? It's just growing.
Anybody have Larry Wilson's phone number?
Yes.
I am.
You have an analyst?
Oh, by the way, anybody want to volunteer to drive, too?
Pat, he likes driving. Makes him nervous when someone else drives.
I don't like driving.
Makes him nervous when someone else drives.
Why do you guys know where we're going?
Sandra.
I know where we're going.
I don't know, he drives like an ex-cop. That kind of scares me.
What?
You heard me.
I didn't.
I think Bill.
I said you drive like an ex-cop, and that kind of scares me.
You're not the only one who says that.
Doesn't matter when you leave for a meeting, he beats you to it.
Larry, Bill won't be here. Are you joining us today?
Hello.
Well, we're meeting at the Admin Center at 8:30. We're going to meet down at Peckman instead?
Bye.
At 8:30 here, 9 o'clock is when we get down to Peckman. Okay. Rub the sleeve out of your eyes and come on down. Okay, guys, bye-bye.
Good thing we called him.
Are you anticipating getting wet?
You never know.
It's so pretty hot.
So, Bill, was he thinking 9 or?
He was thinking 9.
Okay, so he'll be here quickly.
He's on his way now.
Okay.
That's not that far.
Bye.
I'm just being cautious. You know. I do not like to turn over.
So, Mud City Times.
Whose shoes are those?
Mine.
Wow, what size book do you have?
Editorial.
Wow.
The Quad City Times.
That's for the hiking part.
Yeah, I've got my hiking
things on Saturday. The
just for you.
And he told me they were stopping.
Well, they can hold a lot of stuff that way.
Yeah, it's good to carry your water bottle.
Yeah, yeah, so I went back and posted the article.
He thought it was 9 o'clock.
And then Lady Heartland, Lori Bellin, picked up on wrote a story. But
do you want me to push? Let's see. So, the power on.
We can go pick him up.
If they, you know, if they had enough money for staff, they'd have better paper.
Right.
Oh, which is Peckman Creek.
So, Cedar Rapids Gazette.
So it's ready to go?
Comment a couple years ago.
That's recording, and so you just hit this deposit.
I posted on my Facebook.
And I can do it too.
Just and hit it again.
Yeah. So that would pause. Don't hit, like that until the end of the day. So just all day, we're just going to record and pause.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's the expert.
It's pretty similar.
Yeah. I was looking for an on button.
We're going to canoe.
Oh, it's right on the side, and you have to hold it. But and actually, what we'll do is we'll just do this, and it will stay on then all day.
Oh, okay.
So even if you hit it or something, I should keep that in mind.
So you're taking minutes.
I'll just take notes as they talk and mark when it starts to stop. So I can send the information for you guys because it'll count for both. So that. No worries.
All this technical stuff.
And if for some reason the recording doesn't work,
I don't.
I can always send the other one. So we'll back up.
Okay. I don't think there's that much. I think we call them there.
And then when they recess it, we'll reconvene.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to reconvene at the location during the trip.
I'm not sure. If we're all in the same car, I'm going to record it. Because they're technically a quorum with everyone in there talking, unless no one talks. And then when we get there, I mean, I think the canoe portion will be recessed. So I guess just playing it by ear.
Yeah.
Sure.
See what Susie says.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you can always erase. You can't.
He's one of us.
Yep. How did you get stuck with the recording?
Oh, I'm the secretary.
You and I are close.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Usually all I do is, yep.
It's just mark
it. Dory did it right.
Yep.
Sign it. Yeah, the first year I thought, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to take minutes. Yeah, I am a little secretary for another group, and it's hard to think and write. Participate a little.
I feel really lucky that there's recordings and computers to type, and you don't have to worry about catching it all during the meeting. I can't imagine if I had to like remember it all.
Yeah.
Be able to.
I thought it should
Because people look a lot different
after. Can we do like permanent marker on our permanent marker on our
That worked pretty well. I'll just write some Nick the Kenner for me.
You might want to give Mickey that so she can tweet it out ahead of time.
Or they wanted to
look like.
If you see any of these people in Columbus Junction, they want to go to this building.
Send them back.
Yes.
Like a field trip.
It really feels like a field trip.
Put steel in there. There's a good chance.
Yep, that too.
That's what Mira was trying to do.
I think there's enough time to go to the bathroom again. Anyway.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And Kurt was talking about it.
So we're actually not going on the river. We're going in the creek. So I figured they'd put us in the water and then get out at River Junction. Not from there. Bob and I did it about close access.
They need to go taller to cash flow. To cash flow.
Anyway,
if you're only building three to five stories, you don't have enough units to pay for something. I mean, kind of just watching as they move in here and what they're putting, how they're decorating their decks.
Yeah.
And on the backside, there was a big, huge Rio sign, NBC, I don't know.
I don't know
where they got that. Yeah. But I hope they, it looks good now. I hope they don't start hanging out over all the Tiger Hawk stuff.
And it sounds like it's bad.
But if that happens, already have
moving in. Like,
do they have enough parking?
In the city gate. So that's why they're going to end up in our lot.
Well, I know it's the young ladies that were in this building. No, they originally they painted that the trim on Tate Arms was turquoise, kind of to match some of the other.
Yeah.
Now they painted it into
a little bit ice.
The trim and the shutters into a
blue. I bet the historic press
didn't like that.
Told them the color was 1940. Find something?
We'll be test
time. You're okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Here's Larry. Okay.
Here comes Larry Wilson.
Let's see. Alice went into her car. Janelle is where?
Restroom.
Hi, Larry.
I had on my calendar for 9.
Oh.
Well. I changed it last week.
Huh?
No. Okay, there's Alice. So they've got a quorum. We've got a quorum. Let's just take it over to Janelle.
You should only be as far away as I do.
Larry, I'm just going to wait 1 second for Janelle to get back. I think she went to the restroom, and then we'll call them both to order, and I guess we just recess until we arrive at...
Right.
So, when you got there, recording?
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stand here.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the Monday, August 22nd, 2016 meeting of the Johnson County Board of Supervisors. This is a joint meeting with the Johnson County Conservation Board, and we are about to travel to the Peckman Creek Delta, and I'll let Larry go ahead and call it to order, and then we'll recess while we drive.
Okay, I will call this meeting to order, Johnson County Conservation Board, August 22nd at 8:45, and we're going to recess on the way to Peckman Creek Delta for a tour.
Okay, we're officially recessed.
Yep.
How many vehicles?
You drive back into session. We are at the Southern Operations Center, and we're now with Conservation Director Larry Gullett, who's going to give us a little background.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call the Johnson County Conservation Board back into session, and we're going to go on a tour of the property with Larry Gullett, our Executive Director, leading the way.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming. It's spectacular. We're really happy all 5 of the supervisors could meet us. We have a great day planned. We have more staff back at the SLU so we can get in and paddle back there. But what we want to do, since some of you haven't been here, is spend about 15 minutes here at the house site, the farm site, then go back in. We'll make one stop before we get to the SLU. I'll show you a swell and talk about some wetland restorations we have planned, and then go back to the SLU itself and paddle. So we want to leave here by about 11. And we got some excellent plant materials. We were back there this morning. We just can't believe what's flowering right now. It's unbelievable. Some of the stuff that normally flowers in mid to late spring is flowering a second time.
Wow.
And so it's great. And but anyway, for those of you who haven't been here, we purchased this area this year. We gave you the tour guide. Some of the statistics are on there. And it was a little bit over $1.8 million for 380 acres and all the buildings. And we're so thrilled that it came finished, because now we're going through the process of trying to develop a northern shop, and you know how much work it is, the planning and design, and so this was all ready for us. And Chris and Colleen Westfall, 3-generation farm site, and they had set this up for their equipment, farm equipment, heated shop, and then the back has a large storage area, And then there's the garage, nice farmhouse, a grain bin, and then a pole building over here. And what we're doing right now is still studying the site and deciding what the future holds for the development of the entry area. So everything here floods, except for the house. The house has never flooded, even in 2008. And so that's really valuable real estate right there where the house is. If we ever want to build something nicer, make a higher end development, that's where it would go right there. But you'll notice when you look around the shop, our operations staff has put the water heater, the air compressor, everything's up high. So we'll be able to see when we go in this back room. The highest the water ever got in 2008 in this room right here was about this high. It's flooded like 3 times. So everything is set up so if we need to vacate here, we can really fast. And then the only thing that's the most time consuming if it does flood is this bottom 3 feet panel of the steel around the inside. All this has to come off. Like if it floods, the water gets in the wall. So from right here on down, there's a break. So you have to take this one off, drain out what's in the walls. So this winter, what our staff's going to do is take this off, and we're going to foam fill this bottom section. And we may put metal in the panel back up here, so we don't even got to take that off when it floods.
It'll just drain?
It just drain in the air in there, but we'll foam fill it. And so everything's set up so we can vacate it quickly if it floods. You can go ahead and look back here in our nice big storage area for our equipment. Yeah. And you'll notice all the framework is all made from bur oak. It was harvested right here in the area. So look at those cranes. See those big, what are they, like 3 by 8s? That's all milled from lumber right here on the site, harvested.
When I was here last, Larry brought me down here almost a year and a half ago. They had combines and all sorts of equipment in here. It was scientifically put in here so they could, but it was wall to wall. And they were all red, right? They're international harvesters.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't John Deere people.
For how to get, you know, it's called
smart.
Rush or crush. And how to get things out of a jam.
Yeah. You have to be like an engineer.
First,
what Wade was just talking about before you got here, I think what we're going to do is along the edge of these walls, we're going to build shelves that are up like 5 to 6 feet high, heavy duty shelves. And so when it does flood, we have forks on tractors and our skid loaders. We're going to have everything set up so we can, like everything that's out here, just put it on pallets, lift it up and set it on the shelves up so we don't even got to move it off site.
Yeah.
Within a matter of hours, we can have this, all the stuff that's down low put up out of the flood waters. But you can see the line right here where it flooded in 08. So the problem is that when the water starts coming up, the chances of it getting in here is slim. This doesn't flood very often, but you can't risk it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So when we know it's coming up close, we got to get it out.
And you'll have 48 hours notice, basically.
Yeah. That's enough.
Well, the university, it takes them 48 to 72 hours to set up the flood walls. Mm. So the reservoir will never fully open, in theory, until the university's flood walls are set.
We can do that, but even this last winter, remember in December when it flooded?
Yes.
This slough right out here, when we go out here and walk over the house, you'll see this swell. It was full of water almost all the way up to the sand road. So it gets close a lot, but doesn't quite get into here.
Say, Larry, of that $1.8 million we spent, how much came from the bond and how much came from grants?
There was $673,000 from a REAP grant, and then the balance was paid almost $1.2 million with the conservation bonding. And then Whitetails Unlimited at the last minute contributed $2,000 to the project. And so so three sources of funding for the project. And, let's go ahead and we'll walk through the house so that we can see.
Are we coming back here or are we leaving?
We're going to leave. Yeah, we're going to take the van. Restroom facility. If we do replace the house with some sort of education center or office that's ADA accessible, it's very challenging because we don't want to lose that feel of a farm site. We think it's really cool when people from Iowa City or somebody else could come down here and they can pull in and feel what a farm site is like. So when we look at developing these things, it's going to be really challenging because we don't want to lose that feel. You know, we don't want to go to like an industrialized or commercialized government complex. This is really nice the way it's set up right now. So this is a little, just a simple pole building. Our staff made it up. Gravel floor, nothing real fancy. Let's look at the screen. Got us these tanks, military surplus. We got those pretty cheap, and then the that saw and stuff you saw in there. Dave Wilson's got us a whole bunch of really nice stuff at discount prices. Wade, how much were these tanks?
I want to say that these were $200 a piece.
Wow.
So we got set up here for about $500. Obviously, the pumps weren't on them, so we had to buy those. So, and then we have a disconnect up there. We can just go in, unplug them, take the wires, put them on the tank, scoop them up with the forks, and take them out. Yeah. Everything that we do down here is based on water.
Why is that?
Yeah. It costs more to fill the tank than to buy
them. Yeah, it does, that's true.
You know, in a catastrophic disaster, he'll be back wanting your gas.
Oh yeah, there. I see where they put their lines here too.
Yeah, you can see it right there. But this is a really cool old granary and grain bin. You can see Chris Westfall retrofitted it, so he put that steel on the outside so they can store soybeans in it too, in addition to corn. And in the fall, when Chris harvests his crops here, we'll rent this to him. He'll usually store grain in here for a couple months and he pays for that. So. It's still being used.
Yeah.
It's functional. Really nice granary. I crawled up there before the architect. Yeah, it's really cool, the architecture. If you ever get take your life into your own hands and find out, you can go up there and see what it looks like. Larry, how long will he farm this? How long until we decide? One of the things we're thinking about doing is creating another wetland bank down here.
Yes.
And we'll continue to row crop it until
that might be a couple years down the road.
Minimum.
And so is Chris still farming this then?
Yes, we cash rent it to him.
Oh, and what are you getting an acre? $100
or $110 an acre. As many years he doesn't get a crop off.
Understood.
That's what the crop insurance is for, Larry. All they do then is break even.
Yeah.
So there's the garage emergency services that keeps their boat in there. They already, this spring, they used it. There was a came out here, they got the boat, they rescued or whatever. By the time our staff even got down here, they were already pulling back out of the river. The fire department has to do it. They had replaced them just before we bought it in the kitchen remodel. There was only a couple windows they didn't replace, but otherwise all the windows and doors are new to the outside.
Put a rotary dial phone.
They put about 30.
I brought you a snack. Personally.
Ooh, what's it taste like?
It's a little tangy.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you even got an antique phone out of this deal?
It's really in high demand by the Sudanese population. I don't know exactly how they use it.
That is good.
Purslane.
Oh,
it's the same as portulaca.
So, you know, another thing is the old.
It's got people.
When you walk in here, it's so much like an old small family farm.
Yeah, I mean, as a. You could make a ramp.
Yeah, we'd like to make a ramp. We're still thinking, because the bathroom, I don't think, is will meet standards. But we don't. It's really tough to know, because we love this small, rural, farmhouse-type setup. But check out the bathroom, because I don't think it'll meet any standards.
Yeah, because it just grows in your
side. Yeah.
We're going to have to see some of the and they've got their beds and things. And they do a lot of stuff to me.
Is this the only bathroom?
This is all for you.
And
all that stuff.
They just let the person know.
So we're having some for lunch?
Yes, this is for lunch. That's it.
Mowing, trimming, they take really good care of the house.
Won't be long, Larry, before kids come through here and say, what's that?
They already have. That's not even kids, it's like 20-year-olds. Isn't that amazing?
I asked Angie if we look something up in a phone book one day, and she's like, she knows, but she's like, book of phone? I'm like, she's giving me crap. I mean, she's not that young, but she's like, nobody uses those anymore. I'm like, please?
It's harder to find people.
Well, nobody can see anything in them anymore because they're so tiny.
I threw mine out not too long ago.
You don't have a phone book anymore? Oh, I still.
I have numbers written in it. Unless
let's look downstairs too. There, where was that upstairs? Some of you went up there.
Yeah, I went up.
If you wanted to, I'll show you the basement.
It's there's no room up there. It's a lot of room.
In a disaster, you want to wire.
So did they take water in the basement very often?
I think so. But it's functional. I mean.
I agree with you. I kind of like the idea of, you know, that it looks like a farm. I mean, this is what a farm is.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity to offer that to people.
What's in the black tank over there?
That's a water something. So there's a well right outside here, and all the well water comes in here first. Then it's circulated out to the hydrants outside. We put in a new pressure tank. We put in the pressure tank, and that's all we had to do down here.
So they're using the barn as an office as opposed to here.
That's right. One person, it works pretty good. We're thinking we're going to have at least another person down here. And when you start to get two and then the seasonal staff, this could be an office. But right now, it's just all outside in the shop.
Does this basement flood?
Yeah, Yes.
Do you foresee a ranger possibly staying down here?
No, not now. We don't think that we'll ever need one. It's an option, but right now that's not even being considered. Yeah. When you think about 380 acres, and this is the only place that doesn't flood, this site right here is really valuable. Yeah. I already said that once, but if you want to build an education center or something like that, this site would work.
Yeah. You need to think about where to go.
I think you can pretty much see where the water gets to.
There's a line there.
There's a line.
Yeah. And that's where it comes in on that side. Right on that section of walls.
Kind of strange.
Yeah.
Or think it should be over here, but
it is. It's right over in there. Especially in that corner. Like right back in that corner is where it's on. It's a water bottle?
Yeah.
We're testing her skills here.
She's doing good. Hope she gets her.
Okay, let's go ahead and get in the van. Jump in the van pretty soon. We're going to make a stop before we get all the way back.
Oh, is it full?
Oh,
so
we can get at least one more in there.
Janelle's going to ride with Wade, I guess. Larry, where did Larry go?
Grabbing his ass. Yeah.
Yes, that's it. And then I had,
I'd gone to coffee with Abraham. I went to high school with him. Oh. He had a PowerPoint that he showed me, and, you know.
Most of it wasn't correct.
We'll stop.
Most of it wasn't correct.
Oh, really?
We'll stop.
It didn't seem like it was a tip that was going to hurt Johnson County much.
Well, they made a couple of improvements based upon recommendations that Peter Fisher made.
Yeah, they're right in front of.
And
blocking traffic.
I was opposed to that street intersection improvement
right.
because I didn't think it was enough benefit to make it worthwhile.
Right.
But they end up having a future resident pay for it.
Oh, we're not
in the Chicago. So then I thought,
well, why not?
But you look at it and you say, did they really change anything?
Yeah, it doesn't. I was just there about yesterday.
The problem was MPO was in that awkward position.
In front of us, they were turkeys.
Oh, turkeys.
All waddling along.
Patients, they couldn't say no.
We're only going to be here for a minute, but it's a pretty cool sight right here. Okay, so in the, I can't remember, through the like the 1960s, the Iowa River used to, and you can look at your map and see this, used to come around and it ran right, this was the bank of the Iowa River right here. And so right there on the other side of the creek, that's Washington County. So the river changed course. So some of this property now, we, Johnson County, owns like 15 or 20 acres in Washington County. So this Peckman Creek right here, we're going to drive all the way along it back to the sluice, flows in the old footprint of the Iowa River right here. And after the Iowa River cut off this Oxbow, and is now about 200 yards south of it, Peckman Creek turned and came right through here. But at any rate, when you sit here, you'll notice this swell comes in. This, if you walk this, it goes all the way on up to Sand Road, and it comes down and empties into the river right here. And it's not that surprising to me after being here a couple years that we just saw that duck, because there's something about this spot right here that's just a magnet for wildlife. When we come in and out of here all the time, there's always turtles crossing the road here. There's different species of birds. They really associate with this swell where it empties into the river. And if you go up and walk up this, you'll see we put in a 30-foot wide buffer. As soon as we bought the area, we put a 30-foot wide buffer in along the creek. But you'll notice when you look up here how this creek has incised. You hear people talking about the incision of streams and rivers on the landscape in Iowa. Well, what's happened is the river has incised. You know how it has 10 to 15 foot banks. So all these little feeder streams that come into it have also incised to come to an equilibrium. So all these wetland plants that used to be spread out on the landscape have now moved inward, and they're highly concentrated right along the banks of the stream. So if you walk up this, in fact, you can see some right up here. There's buttonbush and some pinot. There's a lot of sedges. All the way along this swell, if you're a botanist, it's just unbelievable what's here. So all these species have moved in. And one of the things that we want to do, and you'll be able to see this back at the slough crossing, in order to simulate, to restore this ecologically, what you want to do is you want to take this field crossing and put in a standpipe and back this water up to where it would have been pre-settlement, and then your wetland-associated species will start to spread out on the landscape. One of the problems with that is that you have to have fish passage. All these organisms that depend on the river need to move back and forth. Well, when you have a high dike like this, it acts as a barrier for your small fishes and things. So one thing we may do in our long-term plan is put the crossing in somewhere in through here, but then the slope of it down to the water has to be 20 to 1. So small fishes can move up through there instead of like 2 to 1 like this is. So if we're 10 feet above the water right there, that's 120 inches, that means the slope coming up to it would have to be 120 feet long. So fish and mussels and everything can move back and forth. So that's just some of the stuff that we're wrestling with right now, thinking about the long-term future of this site. But this could be a spectacular wetland that goes back up to Sand Road. And then the other thing is we've been testing our water down here all year for like 10 different parameters. We tested here and at two other spots on the property. This well right here has a huge amount of phosphorus being put into the river. So when we look at all the runoff coming off all the property around here, it's pretty low, except for some reason, we don't know what yet, but this swell is just, the creek is just loaded with phosphorus. And it could be tile drain. There are some tiles up here, but if there was a lot of tiles, you would expect it to be higher in nitrates too. Uh-huh. It's not high in nitrates, so we don't think it's from the tile.
Larry, a lot of these plants in the river, are they invasives or are they native?
The canary grass, the primary species you see out here is all canary grass, really super aggressive and invasive.
Yeah.
And then, so I talked about in that tour guide how we're going to have to get control of this canary grass. And then you'll see all along his path, you see that, you'll see it's, there's another turkey or something, or two of them.
Yeah.
It's full. Chris Westfall used to install buffers as part of the conservation reserve program along the creeks, and he used Blackwell switchgrass, which is a non-native variety of switchgrass that's super aggressive.
Okay.
And all along the edge of these fields, it's just loaded with that switchgrass. And if we don't get rid of that, and we do a landscape restoration, within 10 to 15 years, our area will just be overtaken with that switchgrass. So what we're doing this first few years is identifying where the canary grass problems are at, but then at the same time, we are starting to apply herbicide to the Blackwell switchgrass. Every time it produces seeds, those seeds get in the soil, and then that can last for another 20 years. So what we're going to try to mow it regularly so it doesn't. We've already mowed these buffer strips twice this year. The idea is to keep them for producing more seed that gets in the seed bank.
I have a question about your fish passage.
Yeah.
If the pipe is level and the stream is relatively level, what does the back slope of the road help?
This side, I don't think would matter that much. It's this side over here for the fish being able to move up. The culverts are one of the primary barriers to fish passage. Little fish, so when you talk about big fish, like smallmouth bass and walleye, your game fish, yeah, they can do it, even going through a culvert. But when you start talking about Johnny Dargers and all the other...
So what about the culvert? Just too small? Or
The water velocity's too high.
Okay.
Water velocity, and they need that... It's that interstitial space in between the rocks and cobbles. They shoot from one, stay in there, and then shoot to the next one and keep moving.
So the biggest thing is to get a bigger opening to reduce the velocity.
And you need roughage.
Okay.
Roughage and where there's difference in currents. So this is going to be really fun over the next few years changing this. And when you go out on the buffer strips, the sedges that love the wetland areas are just immediately trying to, you know, now since we took the 30 feet out, the sedges are already trying to reoccupy that space.
How many years do you think you'll let it be farmed?
Until, you know, it comes down to, I can't answer that, Janelle. It'll be at least 3 years.
Because this will be an wetland bank number two, right?
This could be it's a 380 acre area. We've already toured it with Corps of Engineers people. They are super excited about it too as a potential wetland bank.
So it's all about the timing of getting the first wetland bank done and other things, and then this would be number two.
Right.
Okay.
And we've already priced out, so we got 200 acres of forest here. This was that's still intact as a bottomland savanna. Big sycamores, many species of oaks, cockspur, hawthorns, wherever there's openings in the forest, all these savanna species are thriving. And we've already calculated out what we have loggers in here, the silver maples, the white mulberry, and some of the elms have invaded the forest in the last 40 years. we had them come in, say, what would it cost us to open up this 200 acres of forest, leave the oaks and the sycamores and the walnuts and the high-quality savanna species. It's $900,000 just to remove, just to thin the forest here the way we need to do it. But when you're talking about a wetland bank of 380 acres, this site would generate between $10 and $15 million.
Well, what's a forested acre of wetland credit cost?
$70,000. But we wouldn't get a full value because it's an enhancement.
Okay.
So we may get $35,000 an acre. And
you're cash renting?
We're cash renting this. This all, it's really, it's like $100 to $110 an acre. This floods out. A lot of this floods out almost every year. And so, in fact, we had to talk him in this little area. There's a little 10-acre field right on the other side of these trees right here. Floods all the time because it's lower than us. He didn't want to farm that at all. He said, it's worthless. I can't get in there. It's wet. But as long as he's farming it, he's keeping back the invasive species for us. So we had him farm that 10 acres too.
It probably was a good year though.
It looks like there's a yield over there.
The first year he sold it to us, last year he said it was the best crop he's ever had on the place.
So this cropping is helping us in other ways. It helps keep the invasive down while we work
until you're ready then.
Manage it, right.
Is this Buck Creek? What creek is this?
This is an unnamed tributary.
Okay.
It flows in. This is Peckman Creek.
Right.
Buck Creek, they're right on the south side of the park entry on Sand Road. There was a little bridge. Buck Creek comes under that bridge and empties into this about 100 yards behind us.
Right, and then there's one more creek out here too, isn't there?
It's Peckman. That's this one right here.
Right, Peckman, Buck, and there's one more though, isn't there?
Uh-huh.
But not on the property, but really close.
No.
I thought three creeks came together right here. You know.
This one that we can name.
Yeah, okay.
This one we could name plus.
Put a name on it now.
The board has named a creek before. We can do this.
Okay. Well, let's take our time on that too. Because we don't know what it's going to be like. But the way things are kind of working out is that I think that the area up around the Sand Road will be developed first. So there could be some really nice wetlands when you're coming down Sand Road, wetlands and prairie. So this swell between here and Sand Road will probably be the first thing.
And then you'll work back towards the river.
Yeah, that way people can see this.
This is all the wooded area you're talking about, the green here?
Right.
And these are the where he's farming.
Where is the you are here?
I was going to say, speaking of which, Larry, right, we should probably keep moving here.
Yeah. Well, what time is it?
Quarter to ten.
Yeah, we're perfect.
So, okay, that's 300 and what acres?
380 acres, and there's 200 acres of forest. The 200 acres of forest, and just the 200 acres of forest, 202 acres of the bottomland oak savanna, just to thin that, to stimulate the savanna, is, take it times 200, because that's just for the savanna riparian.
But what will you get for a,
up in these fields here, it'd be 50,000 an acre.
That's $7 million in the woodlands
just
if we got 35,000.
Yeah. And it's gonna cost 900 and some to thin it, so it's a lot of money, but it pencils out.
Yeah.
And then there's another 100 and whatever that could be wetland credits, 100 and
but just figure 100 just to be conservative.
At 50,000?
Yeah.
5 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
cha-ching.
You know, one thing when
there's a lot of work to get to cha-ching. But since I've been assigned to the committee to pay for all your dreams, I want to know. And we're how soon can we get to this wetland bank?
And we're still dreaming.
Don't kid yourself. You're only paying for about a quarter of Larry's dreams.
Yeah. I got assigned that committee, so I'm like,
good. Okay, let's jump in and go back. Okay, go. And then when we get there, you have to put on your water shoes because the first thing we got to do is walk through water.
We got them.
And we'll be ready.
Westfall Creek.
Actually, we have to name something after Westfall Creek.
Yeah.
Cruises.
Yeah.
That was part of the...
Exact part of the deal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It wasn't finally part of the
now we just get to go canoe for now.
Is this your sweater?
Larry, is there canary grass and bad stuff upstream from us too? They'll keep coming down.
Rodman along the creek.
It never goes away. So when you make a commitment to manage canary grass, it's a lifetime commitment, multiple lifetimes. It'll never end.
Yeah.
So, you know, at first you got to go in and spend a huge amount of time doing it, and then every year after that, just a
maintenance. Yeah, I remember when you planted that, that was a good thing to do. That was a very positive conservation practice to plant canary grass. It didn't turn out that way.
It stabilizes the soil, that's for sure.
It's like...
Yeah, the canary grass, they've done wetland restorations in other states like 20, 25 years ago, and they're still managing canary fishes.
This, I think, was when I was in grade school, so that would have been in the 50s or late 40s, I think.
Did a good job.
Okay, Autumn
Ollie. Keep going straight here. Yeah, well, we'll stop at 1900 when we get up here by those other people.
So there's people having a picnic up here.
Oh, it's pretty nice.
It was so nice back in Paristat. Didn't want to come up.
Did you get some phone
calls? Just want to come here. I'm back here all day.
This is a sacrifice for the
business. Okay, we'll park here, get all your canoe gear. I've got a I've got a dry bag to put any phones or anything like that in if you need to.
I'm just leaving that all in here.
Okay. Yeah, we'll walk across here and meet out there on the dike.
I'll take my phone from
so you can probably put the up my bug spray.
Hi there.
How are you doing, Pat?
How are you doing?
You don't get everybody here?
Yeah, they don't have any shoes on. We're gonna...
They know. They're all going through.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike brought another pair.
Living the dream, baby.
be happy to have him. He's our sad Jack's bird.
Oh,
okay. Coming through.
Good man.
Hey,
how you doing, Mark?
And my name. I said that I want to go.
Yeah.
Guys, let's go around and do some introductions so everybody knows who everybody is here. And I don't know if everybody's met before. So, Dave, do you want to start?
Gateway Natural Resource Manager, Johnson County Conservation Board.
Yep.
Jeffrey, Natural Resource Management Specialist.
Waldy, citizen. Board. Oh, that board too, yeah. And board, no.
Johns County, Mike Carberry, Johns County Board of Supervisors.
Emily Wayne with the Auditor's Office.
Larry Belton, Johns County Conservation Board.
Allison, Johns County Conservation Board.
Matt Harney, Board of Supervisors.
Janelle Reddick, Supervisor.
Brad Friedhoff, Conservation.
Lisa Green Douglas, Board of Supervisors.
Charlie Bray, Park Ranger.
Everybody knows you, Larry. Rod Sullivan, Board of Supervisors.
So, this is
Wade,
obviously...
Wade and Ben.
I wanted to introduce you to Ben. Ben's our natural resource, our field worker, operations and maintenance, that this is where he comes to work every day. And so he's
and now he's taken off.
He's real quiet like that. But Ben Wills, you may see him later. And so what I just talked about at that other swell where you see where the streams have incised, we'll look at here. Here's Peckman Creek that we were right next to, and you can see how it's incised. But then this field crossing right here keeps this backed up much in its natural state. And so one of the things that we were talking to the DNR about is that when you read their water trails plans and stream and ecological restoration plans, they're talking about the detriments of field crossings in farms. But we told them, look, if you place these field crossings right, they can actually improve the landscape and help your management. So you'll see in that tour guide that I sent out, we're meeting with the landowners, three landowners upstream, Dwayne Musser, Dick Olendick, or Dave Olendick, and then who was that other family that we just, it's in an estate. So anyway, we're meeting with them within the next month, because right now our culvert tubes are plugged up and we're backing water up on our neighbor upstream. So if they wanted to, they could come to us right now and they could say, unplug those culverts, and we would have to drain this slough. But it's full of mussels and clams, and so we don't want to do that. So they're all three conservation people, and so they're willing to meet with us because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the DNR has a private lands program, and they will help pay to put field crossings on their sections of the slough too. So the reason some of them don't like us backing the water up is they can't get into their property in the field. Well, if we approach them and say, hey, let's put in a field crossing for you too with a 20-to-1 slope for fish passage, and the government will help pay for it to restore the ecology. So what we could end up doing is managing this whole Peckman Creek bottom in private-public partnership.
By the way, Ben Wells has joined us again.
Hey, Ben.
We introduce you.
Ben Wells been with us almost 4 years, but 2 years full-time. So when the supervisors approved that first operations and maintenance new position for us, Ben took that position, and he had already worked for us for 2 years before that. As a seasonal worker out of Camp Clark, that 8-month position. So he had worked in 8-month positions. Now, before before we get in, I wanted to show you, you can see the button bush right here. And then look right down next to the water.
The one right next to the water.
The shrub, the big thing.
They're both bud bushes.
Oh, okay.
You see their flowers right down by the water.
Yeah. So that plant usually flowers in May. See the little white globular flowers?
Yeah.
It's flowering now, and then back in the forest over there, there's some cardinal flower.
We saw it on the way in. You could see some on the bank.
Did you see it along the bank? There's some right here, too.
Over there.
Oh, yeah. Look at the cardinal flower here, and there's a huge one over there.
Yeah.
And that's a rare plant. Some people go their whole life without seeing cardinal flower, and right here it's there, and over there. And then you got the buttonwood.
Bright red one.
Just
over there, you can actually see that one a little better.
Yeah, they're really beautiful.
But then this, so if we do that stream crossing here for fish, this would have to be sloped at least 70 feet out. So this would come here, and then 70 to 100 feet out is where it would get down to the elevation it goes right there. And where, if you would have been here 50 years ago, 60 years ago, about where you can see the end of the stream right there is where it flowed into the Iowa River. So the Iowa River came right along that road we came in on. That was the mouth of the stream right there. But now it parallels that old oxbow.
So now I get why you have a slant on the pipe, because you want to keep the upstream higher.
Right.
Now there's 28, last year we identified with the DNR, 28 species of fish in here, anywhere from small non-game species all the way on up to bowfin.
You do a pipe that actually has the bottom sort of rough somehow so that you can, or how do you do that?
You can't.
You have to put the pipe in and then stick your own rocks in there the way you want them.
Okay, you're talking about the final, when we do the 20 to 1, how is this all going to work?
Right.
We don't know.
Okay.
So that's why we work with the Fish and Wildlife Service and DNR, because the other thing you got to keep in mind here, when the Iowa River floods, the water's over our heads.
Yeah.
Right here.
Right.
So we really need that technical expertise on this.
Yeah, unless you pump them down, they wash out.
You think it's going to wash out unless you have heavy rock underneath.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's some heavy rock in here.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing is to remember is that, you know, we don't know exactly what it's going to be. And there's probably going to be periods of time when there isn't going to be fish passage potentially.
Right.
I mean, there may be periods where it's dry, but
there probably always was too.
Yeah, probably always was. But we need to have periods when there's not. Right now, you can see the amount. There's no way a fish is coming through that. And when those tubes are open, there's so much force coming through their velocity. There's no way fish can get upstream on that. I mean, even good swimmers. Yeah. And so we need to equalize that.
Yeah.
Well, we do, you know, that does occur, but there are years that we don't have a lot of floods. I mean, they're frequent enough floods. So.
Actually, you know, last week when the Iowa River was high, they cut it back now. The Iowa River backs it up. You can see the water line right there. So just last week, when the river comes up, it backs water up this slough, and that's where it was just last Friday. And now it's already dropping.
Which raises the question, if the winter floods, how do you keep invasive carp out of and stuff?
They're every, well, the buffalo are native.
Yeah.
But you got to remember that we have a balanced ecosystem. So remember when the last fish that Larry mentioned was bowfin? What's bowfin do? They eat everything. So if you get some invasive carp in here and they're getting a spawn off, those bowfin are eating those little invasive carp faster than you can imagine. Oh, yeah. Bowfin or dogfish are eating.
So when our staff was down here this summer working, one of them brought their fishing rod at lunch. And they were sitting right here and they casting out here and they hooked into a huge northern. Jeremy, were you here?
It was right over there.
Right here, just a monster northern broke their line,
yep.
But it was rolling out in there. So there's some
don't tip your canoe today because you don't know what's in there. Okay?
Jaws.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
just so you know, Mike Hinch took pictures of us so they could identify our bodies.
Okay. So anyway, Dave Wade, we have a really, this is a really nice wetland complex. Dave Wade's going to go up to this upper end, and we'll get in the canoes and we'll paddle up, but we can just take our time. And when we see Dave up there, we'll stop and get out, and he'll interpret the plant communities in that area. And so I'm going to go with Lisa. She already asked me to go with her. She want to go with Jeremy. Where's Lisa?
He's taking a photo over
here. Okay, yeah. So she asked me to go with her, but Jeremy's a plant guy, okay?
Oh, can I go with
you? Yeah, he's a plant guy, really good on sedges.
That's right.
So we'll put in right over here. You're going to have to do a wet entry.
I'll give you a couple.
Get in and just paddle on up through here until you see Dave Wade about half a mile up the slope.
Okay.
And I have a dry bag if anybody wants to put something in there.
Brad, do you want to recess while we canoe?
Yeah, let's do recess the meeting while we're canoeing. And-